How lovely is your dwelling place, Almighty Lord. There's a hunger deep inside my soul. The dwelling place is so lovely. Actually, the Almighty God, he has a hunger deep inside himself for this dwelling place because he loved us so much. The dwelling place is lovely because God is there. Every new life, everyone has new life. Actually, in the deepest part of the heart, there's a hunger for this dwelling place, which we might not know and are aware of. Let us pray. Lord, this morning we come to you as we sing the song and read your scripture. Lord, we pray that you speak to us so that we can see how lovely your dwelling place is and how treasure you do for this dwelling place. So Lord, we pray that you surpass all our limitation and to speak to us so that your message from your scripture can somehow convey to our hearts so that we can see your heart desire and we can treasure your heart desire and we can walk before you come back. We can walk worthy of the calling you give to us. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been looking at the book of Ephesians for a while. Last time we looked at chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. This time we will continue and focus on the following verse, one verse only. Chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Let us first look at the context of this verse 17 from verse 15 to 18. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Paul exhorts us to look carefully at how we walk. On one hand, the book of Ephesians talks about the high and glorious eternal purpose of God. On the other hand, it is a very practical, down-to-earth book, talking a lot about how our walk in this world should be. The word walk appears seven times in the book, two times in the first part, chapter 1 to 3, five times in the last part, chapter 4 to 6. As said in chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, originally, we previously walked to fulfill the desire of our old man, following the course of this world and Satan. In chapter 2, verse 10, after being saved from sin and Satan by the grace through faith in Jesus, we should now walk in good works. This is the purpose for us to be saved. In chapter 4, verse 1, Paul exhorts us to walk worthy of God's calling. The first and most important walk is to build up the body of Christ in oneness. In chapter 4, verse 17, Paul mentioned and reminded us we now should no longer walk as non-believers walk. Rather, we should keep putting off the old man and putting on the new man, as said in chapter 4, verse 22 to 24. In chapter 5, verse 1 to 7, Paul exhorts us to walk in love as God's beloved. in chapter 5, verse 8 to 14, Paul exhorts us to walk in the light as children of light. These are what we have looked at in the past. Now we come to chapter 5, verse 15 to 18. Paul exhorts us to walk carefully and wisely. This walk session will continue through up to chapter 6, verse 9. How? How to walk? Firstly, redeem our time in verse 16. Secondly, understand what is the will of the Lord in verse 17. Thirdly, be filled with the Holy Spirit in verse 18. Today we are going to focus on the second one, verse 17. So the theme of the message today is understand the will of the Lord. Do you think knowing the will of the Lord is easy or difficult? There was a preacher asking a group of young people, Do you think knowing God's will is simple and easy or very difficult? Almost 90% of them raised up their hands, indicating that it was very difficult. Only one showing that it is easy. The rest had no response. Then the preacher asked that young man why he thought it to be simple and easy. He said, "Everything I don't like is God's will." Somehow he got an impression that God was like a harsh and mean father, always asking his children to do difficult and nasty tasks. I wish that you don't have this impression, because our God is not like that. Are there any decisions in your life you are not sure what to choose? Or now? Just try to think about that. Identify this decision-making in your heart, if you have. And ask God to help you to make a good choice through this morning's message. I will try to look at the theme in three main points. One, do not be foolish regarding to the will of the Lord. Second, understand the will of the Lord. The will here refers to the most important eternal purpose of God. Three, how to understand the will of the Lord. The will here refers to the numerous will in our life in various circumstances. Let us start with the first main point. Do not be foolish regarding to the will of the Lord. Paul warned the Ephesians in verse 17 saying, "Do not be foolish." That means we can be foolish. Foolish regarding to the will of the Lord. Before we look at the will or purpose of God, let us first understand the importance for a person to have the will or a will or purpose in life. Man needs water and sunlight to survive. Similarly, man needs will and purpose to survive. Without will or purpose in life, man will shrink, become weakened, and die easier. Even non-Christians understand this. Viktor Frankl is a Jew. He went through a Nazi concentration camp in World War II. Out of 1.3 million sent to this concentration camp, only about 200,000 people survived, but the rest died in the concentration camp. In this concentration camp, he observed a major common characteristic of the survivors is having purpose in the midst of their suffering. Franco found that those concentration camp prisoners saw a purpose or meaning in their life, had more strength to endure the suffering. Their purpose might be just to reunite with their family members overseas, or to finish important work, the work they have passion to do before they are in the war, put into the concentration camp. So this kind of purpose somehow strengthened them. Franco once said, "Life is never made unbearable by circumstances, but only by lack of meaning and purpose." Personally, I might not fully agree with what he said, but I have to admit that there is some truth in it. Therefore, if you are only now living your life for comfort or fun, without finding meaning and purpose in life, you will be losing your strength to live as a human being. For example, a lot of young people, they are dehumanizing themselves by playing and editing in phone video games in China. I'm not talking about you, China. Some of them may become so dehumanized as beasts or became insane that they even kill their parents or grandparents or kill themselves. Last year in Nanchang, a grandpa called his 14-year-old grandson for dinner, but the grandson ignored him because he kept on playing video game on his mobile phone. Then the grandpa scolded at him and took away his phone. Because of that, the grandson killed the grandpa. A few years ago in Hangzhou, where our elderly brother Yan, China's hometown, a 15-year-old girl had a fight with her family over her use of mobile phone. Afterwards, she committed suicide by jumping out of her high-rise apartment and died straight away. These are not isolated incidences. According to China state media, about 62% of Chinese minors, children, often play games online. About 13% underage mobile game users play mobile games for more than 2 hours a day during the weekdays, working days, or school days. Because of that, last year the China government further restricted that children can play video games 3 days a week, Friday between 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., and weekends and on public holidays. The new rule reduced the total gaming time for children down to 3 hours maximum per week. China government called these video games spiritual opium. A Russian Christian philosopher in 19th century called Fyodor Dostoevsky, he once said, "The man who is happy is fulfilling the purpose of existence." He also said, "Deprived of meaningful work, men and women lose their reason for existence. They go stark, raving mad. The secret of man's being is not only to live, but to have something to live for." Do you have something to live for? If you don't, if you just care for fun or comfort in your life, next time, when you are playing video games too much, be careful. There is a chance that you are developing dehumanizing yourself and become addicted and go insane, hurting others and harming yourself. It is important to have purpose of in your life. If your life only cares for comfort and fun, your life can become shallow, meaningless, boring, self-centered, insecure, fearful, dehumanized, dying. Verse 17 said, do not be foolish. That means do not live aimlessly. Do not walk your life like wanderer without direction. We need purpose in our life. Not only having purposes, but also need to have our purpose aligning with the purpose or will of the Lord. Because all our own will and purposes, desire and passion, or even achievements of the world can pass away. Only those related to the will and purpose of God will last forever and have eternal value. As said by the elderly Apostle John in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. He said, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And notice that. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. We need to understand the will of the Lord so that we know how to follow and do the will of the Lord. Only we do the will of the Lord, our life has its meaning and value today. Not just only today, but have eternal value, impact the eternity. Therefore, Paul exhorts us not to be foolish, but need to understand the will of the Lord. Our God is the only one true sovereign God. Everything is under his sovereignty or governing. No one single thing can happen outside his will. Therefore, we can say that all things happen in the past will happen under the will of God, including those good or bad in our eyes. God said in Isaiah chapter 45, he said, I make well-being, I make peace, and create calamity, that means bad. I am the Lord who does all these things. No matter good or bad in our eyes, God do all these things. Our good God can even actively carry out bad things according to his good plan, for his good will and purpose, under his foreknowledge, and through the hands of the lawless man. As Apostle Peter said in Acts chapter 2, verse 22 to 23, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourself know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. Some bad things can happen, which is not Some other bad things can happen which is not initiated by God. They are not from his active will. But by his foreknowledge, he can exercise his sovereignty to allow them to happen. Even then, our good and powerful and loving God can redeem the bad things into goodness by his grace. He can make use of all things to work for those who love him. For example, in the Old Testament, Satan was so unhappy to see God's faithful servant Job loving God and enjoying God. He wanted to destroy Job by tempting him and attacking him out of evil intent. God allowed Satan to do so, for these evil things to come upon his beloved servant Job. However, God is able to use this evil incident from evil intention of Satan to eventually bless Job with more faith, more love, more enjoyment in God. So our God is all sovereign, all knowing, almighty, all good. He has a glorious purpose for his children, and his love towards them never changes. God promised us that all things work together for good to those who loved him. As Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. So if you love God, you don't need to worry at all. You are very safe. What you need to do is to focus, continue loving God. So far, we looked at the foolishness of having no purpose in our life. Are you foolish? Do you have purpose in your life now? Is the purpose in your life aligning the purpose of God? We are now looking at the third type of foolishness. That is, knowing the will of the Lord, but not doing it. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, 24 to 27, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Are you a wise man? Or are you a foolish man? Do you want to be a wise man? Or do you want to be continues to be a foolish man? Do you understand God's will and are willing to do them? Or do you just understand God's will, but do not do them? Paul said, do not be foolish. Let us now look at the second point, the understand the eternal will of the Lord. The Bible talks about numerous will of God on numerous circumstances. The Bible also talks about the very ultimate purpose or will of God. It is called the eternal purpose of God, which God purposed in the eternity past and has now been accomplishing it for the eternity future. All the numerous will and purposes of God in time and space are for that very eternal purpose of God. I know of a Christian brother. When he did his PhD in the U.S., he and his colleagues need to take a coursework subject as part of the requirement. Because U.S. PhD is not different from the Australian one or U.K. one. In the first lecture, the professor told the class that they would be given a series of projects for them to do. And at the end, they also needed to sit for a final written exam. The result they are going to get for this subject is just entirely dependent on the written exam at the end. However, a few students didn't turn up in the first lecture and missed out what the professor said. Consequently, they spent quite a lot of time and enthusiastic effort on those projects in order to get good marks on those projects because they're diligent students. Some attend the first lecture but didn't take any notice on the professor's requirement. They did the same. At the end, due to some unpredictable circumstances or poor time management, some of them ran out of time for the final written exam. They failed. They failed the written exam and hence failed the whole subject, even though they might have very, very good result in all those projects. Have you come across similar experience? The key to success is not how we zealously and diligently do what we think to please the examiner. The key is to listen carefully what the examiner's requirement is. Otherwise, we might be busy laboring all days or months or even years, but miss the mark. Failing a subject might not be such a big thing, but you and I can't afford to fail in the life subject before our great examiner. We need to know and know well the very ultimate eternal purpose of God, which can give us the big direction for many choices in our daily walk in life. In the book of Ephesians, Paul reveals the eternal purpose or will of God. In the original biblical Greek, the word will, dilemma, or purpose, prothesis, or prothesis of God appears 6 times in previous chapter of Ephesians, which we went through in the past. Let us have a bit of revision on them. Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesians, in Ephesus, and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Paul, being an apostle of Christ Jesus, is by the will of God. Paul is a blessed man, doing something which he knew to be God's will. Hope that we can be like that. Chapter 1, verse 5 to 6. He, which we refer to God, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise for his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. God predestined us. Originally we as sons of Satan, to be adopted sons of the Father, God the Father. This is according to his will. We now become beloved children of our Heavenly Father. We are to become mature sons like Jesus. This is the work the Lord is doing on our life. We can be God's mature, glorious sons, reflecting God's glory. This is God's eternal purpose. This purpose is for the praise of his glorious grace. Chapter 1, verse 9 to 12. Making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. As a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In this fullness of time, all things will be united in harmony under Christ's headship. No more war. No more injustice, no more bullying, no more pandemic, No more second earth and its extreme weather. No more misinformation. No more family fight. No more hatred. At that time, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He summed up all things in Christ. Verse 11. In him we have obtained an inheritance. In uniting all things in Christ from their fallen state, God gave us inheritance, God's rich spiritual blessings. We are to be transformed to be like Christ, loving him and loving one another. And then, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. All these are predestined according to the eternal purpose of God. God works all things according to his eternal will. Verse 12. So that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. This is God's eternal purpose, to the praise of his glory. Chapter 3, verse 10 to 11. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is going to show his wisdom to the angels through what? Through the church. So we know that the church is playing a very important role and function in God's eternal purpose. What is the church? The church of the living God is the household of God. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Paul even said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he said, do you not know that you are the temple of God? What is the church? Paul said, Corinthians, you are the church of the God. You are the temple of God. And that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple you are? You are the temple. So we see that God is very serious for his church. So don't defile God's church. Some people, they defile God's church. The judgment is near. Because God is very serious for his church. But if you love his church, you actually touch the deep part of God's heart. If you love his church, seek prosperity for his church, spend yourself for his church, your life will be very, very blessed because God holds his church very dearly in his heart. After understanding the eternal purpose of God, we come to the third main point. How can we understand the numerous will of God in our life? Firstly, we need to be willing to do his will. As Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 17, who can know the will of God? Jesus said, if anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own authority. Some people try to seek God's will. It's not for doing it, but for considering it, whether they want to do it or not. If this is you, you will find it difficult to understand God's will and His leading. An American preacher in last century, William Pettigrew, even said that. Most people don't want to know the will of God in order to do it. They want to know it in order to consider it. Hope you and I are not like that, not belong to this majority. Otherwise, let us set our heart before our God now and tell Him, God, I want to do Your will. Please show me Your way and help me to follow. This brings us to a second criteria of seeking God's will. That is, a seeker of God's will needs to be a person offering his or her lordship to God as a living sacrifice. As Paul exhorts us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. God is indeed a God of mercy. He doesn't want to force us to offer our lordship to Him. After He decided to give us freedom of choice, He's willing to respect our freedom of choice received from Him. Even He is willing to limit Himself in dealing with us. If you don't give Him the freedom to lead you, He'd rather wait for you, so that one day you are willing to give Him the full liberty to lead you to His good and acceptable and perfect will for you. If today you have something you want to seek God's will to lead you, let me exhort you to give Him your lordship so that He can have the full liberty to guide you, including on the matter you are seeking for. Don't be deceived. God is not a harsh and mean God, such that whatever you don't like is God's will. This is not true. Our loving Father's will is actually very good for us. I wanted to be, and I tried to be a good father, but I have to admit that oftentimes I was not. I am not. I thought certain things or certain ways were good for my children, but actually they brought hurt and harm rather than good. But our Heavenly Father is not like that. He is good. It is very safe for His children to entrust themselves completely to Him. He loves us so strong and firm that He even sacrificed His own Son, beloved Son Jesus, in order to save us to Him. And even though this is mind-blowing, like the song we sing this morning, He loved us as He loved His begotten Son. How can we imagine? How can we imagine? We are so small, so sinful, but God decided to love us as to the extent as he loved his begotten Son. So it's very safe for us to entrust ourselves to him. The earlier we decided to offer ourselves to him, the better. So I exhort especially the young people to offer your lordship to him in your youthful days. You will find your life much more exciting, purposeful, and meaningful because he can have the full liberty to transform you earlier. After we have the two prerequisites, which are willingness to do God's will and offering ourselves to God as a living sacrifice, then the most important and first way to understand God's will is by the scripture. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. That means the whole Bible, including the Old Testament and New Testament, are inspired by God to his servants to write it down. They are profitable for the man of God to be adequately equipped to do all kinds of good works God purposes and desires us to do. That's why it is extremely important and indispensable for Christians to read and know the Bible. As Jesus quoted in Old Testament verses and responded that to Satan's temptation in Matthew 4, verse 4. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. If we want to understand God's will, we have to make time to read the scripture, just like you and I make time to take meal every day. A lot of things clearly written down in the Bible, which we don't need to seek God's will, we can just follow. When my children were young, I heard of some non-Christian families who are not living within a certain good public school, catchment area. However, the parents wanted their children attending that good public school. So they asked friends within that catchment area to allow them to use their address for their children to use. So if you are a Christian parent, do you need to seek God's will, ask the Lord whether it's God's will for you to send your children to this school, good public school, through this way? Of course not. Because Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 said very clearly, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth. This scripture verse can be a good and timely protection for Christian parents from committing sin and causing spiritual damage to the family. Not only the scripture can provide explicit reproof and correction to us in order to protect us from sinning. The scripture has also explicit teaching and training on God's will. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 to 4, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. Therefore, one principle of God's will is to pursue holiness. The meaning of life is not the pursuit of immediate gratification, but holiness. If something you are doing or some circumstances you put yourself in is negatively affecting your holiness or weakening your keeping your body in honor, these are conflicting with God's will, and you should avoid. You don't need to seek the God's will to avoid. You can just now avoid. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18, Paul said, Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Giving thanks is the will of God. If we do this will of God, we can grow in grace and we can be protected. Protected us from prolonged sadness. And even from depression. Sometimes if you are not careful. God does not ask us to give thanks for all circumstances. Not for all circumstances. If something bad happened to me, or to you, we don't need to give thanks for the bad things. But we can still give thanks in this situation. We can still count the blessing in bad circumstances. We can still trust God that He is able to make use of this bad thing for me to experience His goodness and grace. God's will for us is to pursue holiness. God's will for us is to give thanks. God's will for us is also to do good. As Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. There's a preacher. There was a preacher. Once there was a Christian sister went to him complaining about her husband. She was no strength to pursue holiness, to control her bitter mouth. She couldn't give thanks in her married situation. She couldn't do good before her very difficult husband, and was easily disturbed and irritated by him. The preacher didn't know how to use words to comfort or encourage the sister, because the pastor, actually thought her husband indeed had a lot of problems. He's a very bad husband. But the pastor didn't know how to respond to the sister. He could only pray for her. During those days of prayer, one night, the pastor had a dream. In the dream, everyone going to heaven needs to register. As part of the registration process, each registering person is then brought by angel to each person who has helped him on earth, helped the registering person on earth. This is for the registering person to give thanks to his helpers, one by one, from the one helped least to the one helped most. So this process is an eye-opening experience for the registering persons in the heaven. Understanding how God has used so many people to help them in the dream. The pastor also saw the complaining wife. She also thanked many people. At the end, she saw the last person the angel brought her to thank. The last and the biggest helper of her was her husband. The pastor woke up from the dream. He still don't know how to talk to the sister wife. Later, God gave him an opportunity to share his dream with her. She was comforted and encouraged by God through the dream. The wife started to see that God used her own husband to deal with her flesh, her old self, her temper, her stubbornness, self-centeredness, and pride. She started to see that if not by her husband, God has no other way to transform her to be more like Jesus. May this dream also be an encouragement of each one of us in doing the will of God, in pursuing holiness, giving thanks, and doing good, even before foolish and difficult authority. In fact, all this will of God is to achieve the eternal purpose of God, which is the maturing of each Christian for the building up of the body of Christ under his headship, so Christ can head up and sum up all things in him through the church and for the church. My time is up. So apart from knowing and following the scripture, another important way to understand God's way is to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised us that the Holy Spirit is our helper. He is to teach us all things, including his leading. He leads us into all truth through the word of the Lord, which is the scripture. He uses to bring to us the remembrance of the scripture, which we understand and remember from the past. On the other hand, the Holy Spirit's leading won't be conflicting with the Holy Spirit's inspired written words, which is the scripture. So again, although the Lord have the Holy Spirit to lead us, but we need to know the Bible. Otherwise, we might be misled by our own feeling rather than Holy Spirit. Anything is not consistent with the Bible, it won't become from the Holy Spirit. And also the Bible said in Colossians chapter 3, and let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. So peace is important for Christian daily walk. This is what we receive in Christ. And Romans chapter 8 also said, for to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. If somehow we lose the peace we used to have, we need to stop and seek instead of going ahead with our chosen choice. So we have the Bible, we have the Holy Spirit. We also have the body of Christ. We can seek counsel and prayer with more mature members of the body of Christ to share, to pray together in our seeking God's will. But I need to stop here. In terms of knowing God's will, the decision part is not the most important. The heart condition, the heart part is most important. The willingness to do the will, to offer our lordship to the Lord, and the sincerity to seek the will of the Lord is most important. We have limitations. We may misunderstand God's leading, but it's okay. Even we misunderstand, the Lord always can use the environment to protect us. And the Lord will guide us. And even we make a wrong decision, not intentionally, the Lord can still redeem our bad choice. So the decision itself is not the main part, not the most important part. The important part is our heart condition. So the last verse I would like to share is in Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 23. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Let us pray. Lord, we commit all these scriptures into your hands. Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit can translate your words into our hearts, to teach us to know your will and the desire to follow your will, so that your heart desires for your church can be continued to be accomplished. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, I think it's a very good comment, and this is not a real question because the answer is very obvious, and yeah, indeed. I used the video game as an example, and this might not be a good example, but yes, indeed, for some people, they play so much, and they are so addicted to it, it becomes their purpose. It is quite a pitiful situation. But some people, they are not playing because of purpose. They just feel bored. They have nothing to do. But it's okay to have fun, entertainment. But the point I would like to make is, firstly, we need to have purpose. Secondly, our purpose need to be aligned with the purpose of God. So what Abraham said is very true. As Christian parents, if we convey a message to our children, we can find meaning in this world without Jesus. We can find a good meaning without Jesus. It is a wrong message. Because the Satan can use video game to deceive us and can use good grades, good school, good achievement to deceive us. So at the end of the day, any passion or desires, not the will of God, is the desire of the world, will pass away. Yeah. And I think Christian parents is a big responsibility, not send the wrong message to our children. Just like the parents I mentioned. If there's a Christian parent thinking that I need to take my children to a good school in a catchment area, and this is the wrong message sent to the children, and we should be very careful of that. But there's some bit I don't quite catch it, but it's okay. May this help us, no matter we are parents or we are children, we have a passion to play video game, or we have a passion to accumulate our wealth by property investment and things like that. Everything, we need to come to the Lord. Are we living in life with purpose and aligning with God's purpose? Of course, we can enjoy a lot of grace, a lot of gifts from the Lord, but our life is not for those earthly blessings. We can enjoy earthly blessing, but our life is not for earthly blessing. We can continue the discussion at the deck. Sorry, I use more of your time today.